Hey everybody, this is Charlie from Anthrax, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our today's Boondoggle radio show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/today's boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at today's boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well. So please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
Some people will go to any lengths to pop, my man. I mean pop. Like, just this past year, I resorted to deadlifting my girl's Tesla so my chassis could outshine the competition. But what's more important is nutrition. And that just blows my mind. That's why I let TNT Health put together my workout and meal plan. And everyone's seeing results now. And that's why it makes my heart soar like a hawk to share with all of today's Boondoggle fans that if you use promo code Boondoggle, you can receive 10% off your purchase at TNTHealth.com. So remember what the Macho Man says. Go to TNTHealth.com. Get some product. Use promo code That's Boondoggle it. And save. Especially if you want pythons the size that look like they come it. Off of Skull Island.
Yeah. Now hang it up. Hang it up now. Yeah.
The pinnacle of rock festivals in the United States, Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival, returns to historic Crew Stadium with the biggest lineup ever to rock Columbus. Slipknot, Disturbed, Pantera, Limp Bizkit, Evanescence, Judas Priest, Stain, Rise Against, and the original Misfits, plus A Day to Remember, Falling in Reverse, Breaking Benjamin, 311, Sleep Token, Seether, In This Moment, Fade, Cypress Hill, Sum 41, Kerry King, and Thrax. And that's just the beginning. Over 120 bands, 4 days, and for the first time ever, a fourth stage to give you more metal, more rock, and more mayhem. May 16th through the 19th at historic Crew Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. Tickets on sale today at SonicTempleFestival.com.
Listen up! Hold on to your seats! Grab your girls, grab your beers!
What's going on? It's Tommy Beck, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You are listening to today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Kato Kalin listens to this all the time.
Now here's your host, Bill Brady. Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle. And a real quick housekeeping note, if you are watching us on YouTube or Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey, please hit that follow and subscribe button. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever podcast platform you utilize, please hit that follow and subscribe button so we can continue to bring you conversations like the one I'm bringing you today, getting to catch up with my buddy, Mr. Josh Bernstein. How you doing, Josh?
Not too bad, sir. How about yourself?
Good, man. Good. The weather's been back and forth here in Cleveland, Ohio, but, looking forward to that groundhog not lying to us and getting out and enjoying some music festivals this summer, as we were discussing earlier.
Well, you got, you might not think it, but you get kind of spoiled out there. You got a couple great festivals. You got the Rock Hall. You got so much good stuff out there for a music lover to enjoy. I got to work out in Cleveland for a couple of years and love putting on events and award shows there. It was always fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Always a good time, man. I complain when I'm here stuck in the weather for a while, but during my time in the military, it was like Cleveland proud. That's where I was from. Everybody compared, in the military be like, oh, who's your home football team? I got the Browns, but
yeah.
But
I'm a Mets fan. I understand what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. But Josh,
be the underdog.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. But usually when I have somebody on for the first time, I like to get a quick background. So do you remember originally what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I wanted to become a comic book artist. That was my, my childhood dream, and kept it going through college, I guess sort of got there eventually in a weird roundabout way. I wanted to become a comic artist.
Awesome. Well, that rolls into the next question because what were some of your early comic influences as a kid?
Like what? Super Friends turned me on to a lot of stuff. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends cartoon. Those were huge. And then, I think a lot of stuff of the toys I collected as a kid also brought me to comics, like Transformers and G.I. Joe. Because at that time period, the comics and the toys and everything they seemed equally as big to me, and the TV shows too, the cartoons. So I think that's probably what brought me there. My dad was a reader growing up and loved it, just instant. The minute I had one in my hands, I wanted, it's like drugs. One's too much, 1,000 is never enough. They say that about drugs and comics.
Yeah.
I can quit anytime.
Well, that explains my correlation and my journey, I guess, as well, then, because I remember when I would get them when they were like 25 cents. Back in the day. And, I was a big, Spider-Man as well, Marvel fan, got into DC and Superman and Batman and all that growing up, and I still got the boxes stored here, in the plastic sleeves. And all that stuff.
I mean, we're of a similar generation that, when we were kids, right? Like Gene Simmons put his blood in the Kiss comic and, the music and comics worlds had always, it was a mutual appreciation society, but I don't know how much they overlapped in the past. So it's cool finding ways to get them to play together in the sandbox now.
Yeah. And I know during my collection, even when I went off to the military, I was friends with the local comic shop, and they would order, they would keep a little file for you of whichever ones you collected. And then they would do the crossovers, and they got me crossed over. But like you said, in high school, then I'm getting into music and I'm getting into I remember I had the comics. I forget what the name of the comic book company was that put it out, but I had an old like Guns N' Roses comic. I had an old NWA comic.
That would be Revolutionary Comics who put that out. I collect all those. I love those. I have like the Aerosmith one, the Warrant one, the White Snake one. The guy who drew that, or drew a lot of those, a guy named Greg Fox, I think his name was. And he lived in like my town in Long Island growing up. So like he did like a signing at my comic book store when I was a little kid. And I was like, oh my God, I want to be a comic book artist. So like, it's so cool. And I look back at those as, oh, look, by the way. So, you know, I'm not kidding. Black Crowes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was the
Vanilla Ice to the extreme and Poison. So yeah, I actually found a couple of these at a garage sale recently and it was like,
hold on, what else we got here?
Aerosmith 2. I guess they did two Aerosmith books and then God, this artwork is really something. Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
So yeah, that was I kind of look at those as like the ancient ancestors of what I'm working on now, you know, which is you know, getting artists, comics and musicians to work together. And there's early signs of it there originally, and now we see it, you know, every day. And a lot of my career, wherever I've worked, wherever I've been, I always tried to, you know, get those two worlds to work together.
Yeah. So I want to ask about your journey too. Cause like, you know, I mean, like we're, you know, around the same time frame growing up through the same, you know, series of comics, but also music coming out. Like who were some of your early influences with music?
Oh, as a kid, you know, the first music I remember liking on my own was like, my birthday that year, I got a cassette called Chart Action 83. And it had Stray Cat Strut on it, Goody Two Shoes by Adamant, Twilight Zone by Golden Earring.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Angel in the Centerfold by Jay Giles. It was just as, you know, and I think I Want to Rock or We're Not Going to Take It by Twisted Sister. So it very much felt like the first time that it was my music and not my parents' music. And I love my parents' music, right? I grew up Beatles, Stones, The Doors, The Who, Creedence. Like I grew up in a very classic rock household. I think that was my first cassette, and I grew up in Queens in the early 80s. So it was like classic rock. And of course, like the cool things that were happening in the neighborhood, like Run DMC and the Beastie Boys and LL Cool J were happening very locally. That was very exciting too, as was Twisted Sister and Stray Cats out in Long Island. So all really cool. And I grew up, you know, later in life, you know, punk, metal. Of course, you know, I was in high school when grunge hit. So that hit hard and whatever, you know, we used to call college music, right? Like Jane's Addiction, Faith No More, Violent Femmes, Dead Milkmen. I really liked everything. And, you know, when I got to college in the early 90s, in New York City, I got to go, you know, every concert you imagine comes through. So,
oh yeah,
I saw everything my freshman year. Tool, Rage, Primus, Beastie Boys, Cypress Hill, Nine Inch Nails, you know, Failure, Caius, all this cool stuff. Very, you know, it's like $10 a show. We just went to Chili Peppers. We saw everything, you know, so, caught that bug early.
Yeah. And then,
what you can see behind me somewhere, there's like a bunch of suitcases over there. Those are all filled with, I don't open them anymore, but those are just all ticket stubs and laminates from over the years. I just, once I'm done, I'm like, yeah, okay, I haven't gone through it ever, but those are filled with like every sticky or whatever, you know. I try to keep everything. I'm a pack rat. I'm a hoarder.
Yeah. Oh no, dude, we got that in common too. I mean, I got can't see down here, but it's like, yeah, I got the boxes and I got a drawer up in my bedroom with just all my stickies and laminates and stuff. And then I got my actual Sonic Temple. When I was doing media there, I framed the little cool thing they made for me for my table back in the, when they used to have the different tables set up and all that. It's like huge, huge collector as well. And you brought back memories. My first vinyl I actually owned of my own was the Jay Giles band Freeze Frame and stuff. So, That's what got me. And then Kiss Alive, and then it was over. You know? Yeah.
And you can see, you know, with, you know, like say Love Gun, right? Or Peace of Mind, or the, you know, these albums look like comp book covers to me already, you know? They're very similar. Molly Hatchet album cover looked like a Conan comic or something, you know? So,
it would be the same thing with me back then. It would be like the artwork or reading the liner notes. It was almost, and then you'd put the headphones on and just go on the adventure, like with the music. And then, you know, I'd go to my local comic shop, start collecting the comics and read the series. And then they'd get me with a crossover. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm collecting another title, you know, and one thing led to another. But like you had mentioned too, like having your own shop, like how did that journey unfold early into getting into the business side of comic books?
Yeah, in high school, 10th grade maybe, I got a job at the local comic book store that I shopped at in my town. They paid me $4 an hour to bag and board comics. And like you, I had what's called a pull box. The pull box is, you know, what the comic store holds for you every week so it doesn't get sold out. And you can say, I'm a Batman reader and Wonder Woman, they'll hold it for you. My pull box, I never made enough money at the comic store to get out of debt to my own pull box. So I just worked there to work off my own comics. And then in the summer between high school and college, junior and senior year, I was taking comic book drawing classes in the city, and my mom told me basically to go get a job. And I went to every comic company I could find, like in the yellow pages, and asked for jobs everywhere until I got to Marvel. And then Marvel gave me an internship, which really, I'm just getting over cold. The internship really set me on my path. I got to intern for Marvel Comics in high school for like a year and, you know, learn the process of printing. And yeah, I spent 3 months in every division. So I worked in the art editorial department. I worked in marketing. I worked in sales. I worked in art returns. I worked in design. So I got to see a little bit of how each part of the business works. And then separately, all throughout college, I worked at bookstores. So I knew every way something gets printed and distributed, you know. And I came from, you know, my mother is a longtime music journalist and entertainment journalist. So like I grew up in the, you know, sort of going to shows with my mom where she was reviewing concerts. So, you know, this is all in my blood. Getting into the music business thing was a little later. You know, I became an art director of many music magazines like Revolver and Guitar World. And when I was there, I was, you know, putting on concerts and shows myself on the side. And at some point it was decided that I would, I was always pitching Revolver to do an award show. So we ended up doing something called the Golden God Awards, which was a huge heavy metal award show. And that really took off and was successful. So that allowed me to really realize that I could produce events and put on these larger scale properties. And then I've, you know, since I've done that with Alternative Press in Cleveland, got to do a couple AP awards in Cleveland there at Voinovich Park and at the Q. Got to walk on the court where LeBron played. Pretty badass. I definitely grabbed the ball and shot it and missed the hoop. I was like, I'm going to get yelled at, but I'm going for it. And you know, through all those travels is how I met Danny Wimmer originally and started working with him and his festivals, and we formed a friendship. And that led to me being backstage many years interviewing artists, which led to, you know, you and I hanging out recently, because that came full circle about 10, 15 years later. You know, after it started, but Danny called me up and asked me and Pinfield and Katie to host a show for him. And, you know, we've been doing that now over 2 years.
I was remembering like that pull box, going back to the comic books real quick too, is like when I was deployed in the Navy, I still wanted to keep up on the storylines, and I would have them mailed out to me, which probably wasn't a good move because Of course, then I wasn't even thinking more mostly about the collecting and how much they would be worth later. I just wanted to read the stories. So some of them got fumbled up or whatever along that way. But my first tattoo I ever got off the Navy base was, I don't think I showed you, but I will this year when we meet up, was Wolverine. I got Wolverine on my arm. And then the latest one I got, which was a couple of years ago, I'm behind on keeping up on tattoos on my body, was Captain America's shield. Nice. On my elbow here. So
there you go.
But yeah, so when did I, you know, I wanted to ask about, go back a little bit too, to Z2 Comics and, yep, and how did that come together for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, maybe about 10 years ago. Yeah, I guess about 10 years ago, me and some friends, I had a friend that was looking to start like an independent comic book company. He was an old intern of mine. So we helped put this thing together. I always had day jobs and full-time jobs. So I always basically loved doing this because it was an outlet for me to do all my art and stuff. As I got into promoting, selling sponsorships, you know, producing TV show and other stuff. So, you know, once you start doing stuff like that, no one's asking you to also make the logos anymore, design the art. But I didn't want to let that go. And I felt if I didn't use it, I would lose it. So I wanted to have an outlet for that. And sort of the beauty of Z2 is sort of that of like just a fun creative outlet to do art with my friends. And, you know, we stumbled upon something innocently enough as we had a project that involved tangentially an artist that was Dan Auerbach from the band The Black Keys. And the idea was, you know, sort of congealed that we should put out an album, a piece of vinyl with a comic book, with a graphic novel. And when it happened, you know, sort of a light bulb moment went off because it really reminded us of our childhood. And you probably remember Superman comic or Batman comic that had the record in it, right? And you'd play it and it would beep and you'd turn the page. And I love that idea. And I always loved those music comics in the universes that those worlds build. And we just sort of picked our lane, you know, and went down that lane, which was helping art musicians and artists build graphic novel universes, not comic books, but, you know, true like books that will be on your coffee table that stand the test of time, and making really, you know, lush deluxe editions of what we do, you know. And you can see that, like the Weird Al one behind me over there, like, you know, really, I don't say overdoing it, but like, you know, bringing it up to the quality. I don't know, everywhere I've worked in my career, I always felt like when I was at Revolver magazine, we always felt at that time that metal magazines of our childhood did not treat the reader with respect, right? It was like Hip Parader, Circus, Metal, you know, it was gas station magazines, right? And when we came along, it was like, we assumed that the reader went to college. We assumed that you might have a day job. You might not even have a criminal record, you know, and all those great things. And I feel like that's the same thing with these projects. Are like comic books in our childhood were that of, as you said, like you had them shipped out to you in the Navy because you wanted to read what was going on with Logan and what's going on over there, you know, keeping up with the storyline. But like, you weren't also then being like, I'm in the military. I'm also going to have boards and bags shipped in and seal these things in Mylar and all this stuff. So we are now older, you know, we make toys for boys, right? We're older guys, you know, and we collect shit. And, you know, we try to make something that really stands the test of time. And that's always been the fun challenge. But I think what Z2 does special, and that's how that was birthed. It was making those special projects. You know, very early on, we worked with Baby Metal, Grateful Dead, The Doors. Andy from Black Veil Brides was an early, you know, partner of ours, and another Ohio native, shout out. His book was actually called Ghost of Ohio, which is really cool. So, yeah, and now we've done about 75 books since.
Yeah, I've had Charlie on from Anthrax, and we talked about the Anthrax Among the Living graphic novel. I really enjoyed that one. I have that one, and I picked up the Skillet one as well. I enjoyed the Skillet.
So the Charlie thing is so funny. Charlie and I are old buddies, and we've worked together many times over the years at the magazines, at the award shows, and you know, we're part of the native New York metal crew here. And he called me and said, hey, you know, do you know, I'm thinking about doing a comic. Are you friends with any of these guys at Z2? And I went, yeah, that's my company. Why do you want to get a hold of them? And he's like, I want to do a graphic novel. And I was like, oh my God. And he's like, it's your company? I'm like, yeah. He goes, I'll send you a contract later. And we didn't have to say anything. You know, we're all friends. Like, yeah, it's a done deal. Let's go. And then we hit up Scott, and Scott was super, you know, I actually knew Scott at that time even better than Charlie. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, like, I'm a kid who grew up in Queens in the 80s. Like, don't need to tell me how to make the perfect 1987 Among the Living graphic novel, you know, that came with a mad ball, right? Like, this is like, there was no one better suited to work on this thing. And me and Scott Ian have a mutual friend named Ian Sattler, who worked at DC Comics. And me and Ian Sattler, you know, collaborated on that thing together, basically putting together a wish list of everyone on the planet that, you know, that we knew were comic fans, Anthrax fans. And man, that thing became a real labor of love, that project.
Yeah, it was amazing. I really loved all the guests, artists from the music world that were involved.
Corey Taylor, Corey wrote a chapter, Zombie, Mikey and Gerard Way. But even, you know, we got like Greg Nicotero from The Walking Dead involved, and Brian Posehn, the comedian. Killers. Everyone's a killer on that book. It's really one of my proudest achievements here, and working with my buddies. It was great.
Yeah, and like, I like the concept of, you know, each song getting its own story, you know.
I mean, I told, it was one of those things where you say out loud and you're like, shit, I gotta figure that out now. Where I told Scott that, like, oh, I could probably just get the rights to Judge Dredd. And you could write, he's like, can I write that story? Can I write I Am the Law? I'm like, oh God, now I can't like let this guy down. I gotta figure this out. So we tracked down the folks in the UK and got the license for it, and it worked out, and it was really pinch me stuff. You know, Scott said the nicest compliment ever, which he always says to me, goes, I knew you were going to make an Anthrax book, but shit, you made us a Metallica book. And what he means by that is, like, you know, it's Metallica always gets the first call in heavy metal, right? It's a TV brand, you know, like if there's gonna be a metal band, the Super Bowl, Metallica is going to get that call first, right? If it's a car company, wants to come, Metallica. And he's like, we did the best graphic novel first. Metallica doesn't have this. Like, what a compliment, you know?
So, oh yeah,
really,
yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. And it ain't working when you're having fun, you know. And that one was just so exciting. The Motorhead book we just announced like 5 minutes ago is of a similar spirit. It's so fun. Everyone's, it's like it's not even a comic. It's like a party where all your buddies are invited. That's probably how I look at it, you know, like, because we're all working on something together, and that's so fun.
Is there going to be like some scenes of Lemmy at the Rainbow and stuff like that?
Oh, it's like 50% of that book is at the Rainbow. The other half is like him on a couch in his underwear, smoking a cigarette, you know. It's so cool. You know, I got to, blessed to have worked with Lemmy so much over the years, and award shows, got to be part of his documentary and a couple other things and cover shoots. And he was such a presence, you know, and I met Ozzy and Dio, and we met, you know, we worked with everybody in that space, but God, that guy, you know, I'm not intimidated much, or I don't get nervous much, but he would always make me, I was always like, you talk just to him. I'm scared.
I just had Patrick Stone on the last episode from Butterside. Oh. Who did your theme music. And
Patrick and Lemmy. Well, he was his assistant.
He shared some good Lemmy stories.
Yeah. Lemmy signed them.
Yeah.
So what I love about this book is that exactly what you just said. No one who has met Lemmy doesn't have a story.
Oh, yeah.
Famous, unfamous, related, not related. Everyone's like, oh, Lemmy? By the way, the time I met him, blah, 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 you know, and myself included, you know, I, you know, had the pleasure of working with him a dozen times, wherever it was. And every one of those times, there's like five stories within that day of what happened and what went down that were just so badass, you know?
Yeah, and I think Lemmy might kind of lead to like another crossover of a mutual thing that we both enjoy, if I remember correctly, into professional wrestling with him doing Triple H's theme music and stuff. Now I know you know, with the Power Hour, you're on the same station with Impact and New Japan Wrestling, yeah, and stuff like that, but I remember it was like Sonic Temple last year. Me and you were talking for a little bit to Soraya.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, Ronnie Radke.
Did you see Lita was there too?
Was she there?
I went up to her. I actually did the, do you know who you look like? And she went, yeah. I went, oh.
No, I didn't see her last year. Was she there that same day?
Hanging out by herself as a fan, and then, you know, she had a backstage pass, so someone hooked her up, but like she was just rolling around as a music fan at Sonic Temple. I was like, badass.
Yeah, she's awesome. She did, when she fronted a punk band back in the day called the Luchagors, and they played here in Cleveland, and she dove from the stage right into my arms, and I like carried her through the pit and everything. It was, I told her last time I saw her, it's still one of the highlights of my life.
Just a heads up, I have to hop in 2 minutes. My apologies. Yeah, I listen, comics, rock and roll, pro wrestling, and then oxygen. That's all I need in life. I love all of it. Being on the network with both TNA and New Japan is so rad. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, can't say much coming up, but like TNA is really, you know, it's a, what a golden age we are in wrestling, right? We have multiple companies. Everyone's doing well, right? AEW is doing well. TNA is doing well. New Japan's doing great. MLW is doing great. WWE is at a level that's even hard to comprehend how big it is, you know, with the merger with TKO and Endeavor. It's the same shit to me. Like Gene Simmons is Ultimate Warrior, is, you know, is Wolverine, right? Like it's a larger than life escape from our 9-to-5 day job, you know, and I love it all. And I think it's just as much the finest art as anything in a museum. Like I love what's happening. Wrestling is art to me, and theater. We are, I didn't think we were, but I can say now we're living in a golden age of all of it, you know, and
oh, yeah,
great time to really soak it in and enjoy what's happening. We have WrestleMania in a couple weeks. It's going to be ridiculous. 2 days, you know, and then we're going to be at all these festivals soon, you know, and we're about to put out some of our best books. And
When's that Motorhead going to drop?
So the Motorhead book was announced today. It's called No Remorse, the incredibly true illustrated stories of Lemmy Kill Mister and Motorhead. I basically interviewed, me and our editor Rance interviewed about 30 different famous rock stars and asked them their favorite Lemmy story, and they gave it to us. Grohl, Ozzy, Triple H, Corey Graves,
nice.
Lita Ford, Chrissy Hynde, Lars Ulrich, Lars Fredrickson from Rancid's in it, Dee Snider. The stories are batshit insane. But all the stories are also heartwarming and gorgeous. And so the book was announced today. You can pre-order it. You can even get a version of it that comes with a double LP of No Remorse album. And the book will be released officially this summer at San Diego Comic-Con in July. So
awesome.
Dave Grohl wrote the foreword. Ozzy wrote the afterword. And it's a real must-have. And I think one of the most honest portrayals of the man you could read, because it's not just one story about him. It's 30 stories. When you read the whole thing, you get a sense that he was an underrated musician, a gentleman, an actual gentleman, you know, a scholar, and the living embodiment of rock and roll. There is none, you know, he is the king of rock. There is none higher.
And then real quick, back to Power Hour, or else Kevin will be mad at me, but season two is done. Are you guys started season three yet?
I literally got home last night from filming episode 1 of season 3. So We are coming back. The exact dates I can't reveal yet, but we are so excited. I mean, I cannot believe the amount of guests and artists that have joined us in the past year. I think we did about 30 episodes of the show and maybe had about 75 different guests and probably 150 something interviews over the course of the year. And you know, Green Day, Foo Fighters, Metallica, Guns, you know, Maiden, Sabbath, everyone's come on the show. And now, you know, me and Matt and Katie just want to sort of see who we've never gotten. So our first episode will have John Five on it, and he brings us a guitar, and we have a lot of fun. He brings a guitar and an amp, so stay tuned, because that's thoroughly ridiculous what we do with him. And we'll be at every Wimmer Festival this year. You know, if your fans are out there listening, especially Sonic Temple, you know,
Sonic Temple and Incarceration here in Ohio.
We'll be at both Columbus and Mansfield, coming up soon. And, you know, us three, we also, as you know, we go out there with the fans, before the gates open and hang out with everybody, film stuff. So hopefully we'll see you guys out there. And then we head backstage and talk to all the bands all weekend. So I'm as excited as you guys are as fans. Look at those lineups. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, I pitched this to our mutual friend and sober brother, Matt, when he was on the show. And I'll pitch it to Mr. Wimmer himself. But if you guys need a military veteran correspondent in the Ohio Festival,
you know it of anybody?
To work the power hour, I know a guy, you know, just throwing that out there.
Thank you so much. I will let him know. That's the funniest thing lately is we've gotten, which is so sweet. Like we've got a couple other managers have hit us and said, hey, my artist is going to be going to this. For example, my lead singer is going to be at this festival. Can he film a segment? And you know, there's a lot of people that want to be like Daily Show correspondents for the Power Hour now. And it's like, really? Like I'm always surprised that people know the show. You know, John Five, when we started the interview, he's like, by the way, like, love the show, love what you guys are doing, it's so funny. I'm like, cut. Like, wait, are you serious? He goes, yeah. I'm like, holy shit.
No, you guys live in a
bubble. You know, we all live in our little bubbles, so I don't know.
I love driving down to Louder this past year and getting the picture with all three of you, you know, because you don't always catch you all together, and it was great to get that. That was one of my highlights at Louder.
It's almost an illusion that we're together that much. You know, we really maximize our time. But I'm the lone Jersey guy. So, you know, everybody else is LA but arguably we live at the festivals. We run away with the circus every couple of months.
Oh yeah. What a dream, man. Living the dream. Like you said, if you enjoy what you're doing, it ain't work. So,
no, you know. And I don't think for a second that the three of us are so humble and blessed and happy that we get to be there. And like you said, we're just as big a fan as anybody else. I'm a Misfits are probably a top three band, definitely top five, but maybe a top three band in my life. So
I'm looking forward to that for sure at Sonic Temple. That's definitely.
I really hope I don't have any work-based obligations during that time period because I got Glenn and Jerry need me to sing along.
I bet.
Me and Matt have to support our Jersey brothers there and sing along to the Misfits
for sure. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there and reconnecting. Okay. And I'll show you the Wolverine tattoo you know, at least come by and say hey.
I hope it's in an appropriate place. You know, it is
it's on my arm, so we're good. I mean, I could probably kind of show you right here a little bit, but
there you go.
Yeah. Right above.
We just put out the Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden graphic novel, and we were doing a signing, and a fan came up and said, you know, the fan was like mumbling, you know, and then Bruce looked at me, he's like, what's going on? I'm like, what do you want, sir? And he's like, he basically was trying to say, can Bruce, I have an Iron Maiden tattoo I want to show him, which was on his thigh. And he's like, can I take off my pants? And I just turned to him and I said, brother, you didn't really think this plan through, did you? He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, we got to keep this line moving. Like, you should. He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, if I were you, I would come up on the stage pantsless. You blew your chance.
He wanted
Bruce to sign his thigh, and then he would get Bruce's signature tattooed next to the Iron Maiden. I was like, dude, you not today. But
yeah, maybe you should have wore shorts or, you know, one of those pull apart, you know, Chippendale pants or something.
People always ask me, like, who would you do a book with and who do you not do books with? And I always say, it doesn't really matter the genre, but as long as if the fans of that artist get tattoos of that artist's lyrics or art on their bodies, that's who I want to mess with. And that was a prime example of, like, I think we're working with the right guy here. You know, Bruce Dickinson, pretty wonderful. And he'll be at Aftershock this year. First time Iron Maiden ever doing a Wimmer festival. So
I might have to buy a plane ticket for
that. Yeah, that's going to be, well, you could, if you're really buddies with him, Bruce could fly you out personally.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I'll have to
work. Ed Force One.
Work that angle. But hey, Josh, I know you got to get going, man. I really appreciate your time. Looking forward to reconnecting with you this summer. Before I let you go, you mind doing me one last favor?
Sure.
Just cut a promo ID for the show. Just introduce yourself, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
All right. Hey, this is Josh Bernstein from the Power Hour, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle, my favorite podcast in the entire world.
You are the greatest, Josh. I love you, man. Thank you so much, brother.
Dude, so good seeing you. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
So lay down. Kill Switch Engage, Skillet, Parkway Drive, Chimera, and so many more. Inkmates, parole is up. It's time to face your sentencing. Report to Historic Ohio State Reformatory this July 19th through 21st. 3 days of nonstop rock, tattoos, blood prison, haunted house, and more. Single day and weekend passes on sale now at incarceration.com. See you in the yard at incarceration.
Hey, baby. This is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled D-R-E-E-M. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from today's Boondog sent you.
Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into today's Boondoggle.